This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Bam! Hello, everyone. Steve's giving me the thumbs up. I still think he thinks that, or he gets worried every time we got to go live now. Honestly, so do I.
You never know what you're in for, yeah.
You don't, but this is probably show number 3 without any hiccup, so I'm getting nervous.
That was smooth.
How are you, Steve?
I'm doing great. I love this motif, by the way. I got to tell you, I love metallic gray and black, and I match.
Yeah, very, very edgy emo.
It's almost like dystopian, and I kind of like that.
Sweet. Well, speaking of dystopia, that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit tonight. Anarchy.
Capital anarchy or just anarchy?
You let that linger way too long. That awkward pause.
I was watching a live chat, and I'm actually reading that the people have actually like left other feeds to come over here, and I'm actually impressed. Thank you guys for you didn't have to leave somebody else's live feed to come watch us. You know, this is recorded, but you know, we appreciate it.
You left their live feed to come over here and watch me and Steve just sit in awkward silence for 30 seconds. Congrats. We'll say hello to our guest. And I didn't ask you before we went on live tonight. How do you want me to refer to you? I don't know if you want to
You could just call me Artie.
Artie, okay.
You can call me Artie for sure.
Cool. I always like to make sure that I'm not doxing anyone, but I forgot to do that. So hello, Artie. Welcome. Thank you for joining us, especially last minute.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Steve, did you get a chance to watch the Smoking Nun last night?
I have not. I was actually playing Skyrim since last night. I'm actually level 8 now. Yeah, I had it. I've had Skyrim for a very long time, and I haven't ever played it. Last night I said, I'm gonna start playing Skyrim.
All right. What was your character?
No, I did not watch the show. I'm sorry. High elf.
Oh, for, with Archer. Why would you pick the high elf? Oh my goodness.
Well, don't tell me I got to start from scratch now. High elf's a bad.
You chose the Aldemary Dominion. How could you? You got to be a Nord. Oh, everybody's a Nord. Here. Their first play.
Maybe tomorrow.
Geek out, right? For the Nords. All right, I'm geeking out.
Third edition. It's a fifth.
So, I went over a story last night, right? That I thought was funny enough to bring over to tonight, just real quick. We'll briefly talk about it for a couple of minutes here. And Artie, feel free to jump in if you have an opinion on this too. But
sure.
Steve, I want to get your opinion on this right here. Let me cue it up. Let's fade over here. Okay, so last night in This Week in Newsdom, I did a hilarious story, and I want to see your thoughts, both of you, okay? So if I told you that I was going to take a Walmart, all right, and then I was going to add someone on an electric scooter, add to that a Pringles can, and add to that a bottle of wine, what news story could you come up with for me there?
Now, I actually do know of this news story, believe it or not.
Oh, you do? Okay. Artie, do you know?
Yeah, before I took an arrow to the knee, I actually read this.
No, I'm actually drawing a blank here.
Okay, so what would your guess be with these four items that happened at Walmart?
I would say two women who were drunk off wine, both of them were in rolling carts, were fighting over the last Pringles that was on sale.
That's good, but the truth is so much better. This woman was arrested and banned from a Texas Walmart because she was drunk on a cart drinking wine from a Pringles can.
You cannot make that up. Now here's the thing. Was the wine poured into the Pringles can?
Yes.
Or was the bottle in the... Okay, so the wine was literally in the Pringles can. She's drinking and she's doing wheelies and...
Well, I don't know that now. Now, I don't know if the bottle of wine was in the... I don't think a bottle of wine would fit in a Pringles can, though.
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. Cool that she decided to drink it right from a Pringles can. That's pretty awesome.
While we're here, Steve, there's another one that I wanted to get your opinion on. Let's go through. Okay, so there was a pastor at... the pastor who called Pulse victims scum resigns among a prostitution scandal. If that's not great, I don't know what is.
He got busted being a prostitute or getting a prostitute.
He has been getting many prostitutes. Surprise. But the thing is, he called the Pulse victims scum because of their sexual proclivities.
Nothing fazes me with these people any longer. All these people that are outraged on all this shit, 9 times out of 10, they're the ones doing the exact same thing, and they're just being hypocritical.
It just it just goes to show you that I think if you're going to go into any type of ministry where you're going to be in the public, like, learn from the hundreds of other spotlight pastors before you, the Jim Bakers, the Ted Haggards, Jimmy Swaggart. Who else? Who else has been enthralled in these?
Well, pretty much name any Republican that has an office in the last 20 years.
Yeah, just learn from their mistakes. Like, you're gonna get caught up. Don't say anything that it's gonna look back and people are gonna call you a hypocrite for. But yeah, I thought that Pringles thing was just fantastic. What we've got coming up for the week?
Bet she had fun.
Huh?
Bet she was having fun though.
I bet.
Living the life.
You'll see on the side of your screen the information for tomorrow's show. Casey and I used to do this show called Ideology, and I wanted to switch that around because it sort of was just like the show that we do here. So in order to do something different and give a little bit of variety, that show is being turned into one called Opinionated. You'll see the card for it on the side here in just a second. And basically, this is going to be where Casey and I sit down with your favorite content creators, other YouTubers, people who are making content across this platform, and get their opinion on one specific topic. Like, it'll be a one-word topic, and they'll come in, and a lot of times you'll have people do videos on certain things that'll spark a larger conversation, and so that's what this primarily is about. Tomorrow we actually have Poisoning the Whale, and if you guys don't know who Poisoning the Whale is, you must go as soon as this is over and check them out. They are absolutely hilarious. And we're going to be talking about social justice and political correctness tomorrow. That's tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And then on Wednesday, we've got Trevor Valley versus Dan Bidondi. They have been going at it like crazy over Twitter all last night. Him and this guy, let's see if I can pull up some of their tweets. Trevor is one of those people.
Yeah, because I wasn't on Twitter last night. Like I said, I was playing a game, so I've been incommunicado. But when Trevor goes off, he goes full barrel.
Well, he was like lighting. Like, you don't want to fight with Trevor, period. But right. you definitely don't want to do it on Twitter because he is ruthless. Now, here's some of his tweets. somebody said, why do you even want to debate this guy? He says, oh, I've been wanting to debate this Muppet for years. I finally broke him, and he agreed. Dan, the guy who's debating, says, that's right, and I got a big, loud set of pipes, too. I'm a political, biblical bulldog. Get in the way of truth, and I'll plow right through you. And Trevor says, you're a fucking mental chihuahua, and I'm going to rip you apart in our live debate on Wednesday on the Non Sequitur Show. Wear diapers, Fester. You're going to need them.
Man, that's brutal.
So guys, get ready for you talk about a dumpster fire. This is going to be probably one of the biggest ones we've had.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I've ran into this guy before. This guy Dan, I'm pretty sure that I ran into before. It was on YouTube or Twitter. He's that MMA or wrestler dude that somehow is affiliated with InfoWars.
Yes. Well, yeah. He used to be on InfoWars. I believe he was like some correspondent. He had a segment or a show or something like that on InfoWars.
He's out in left field.
Yeah.
Way out in left field.
Well, he's a don't cross him, Steve. He's a truth and Bible bulldog.
Yeah, no, I've crossed paths with him before, but I don't think it was on Twitter. I think it was actually on Facebook on a forum, if I remember correctly.
To be honest with you guys, everybody's asking what the debate is on. I'm not going to say right now. It's a surprise, but just trust me. It's really good. I don't think it's something that you would think with Trevor based on his expertise, but it's going to be really good. And so make sure you check that out. It's going to be on Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Last thing before we jump into tonight's topic, make sure that you're with us on Saturday. If you watch the Dr. Don Prothero, I believe that's correct. I always want to go to
Prothero.
Prothero. I always want to go to Prothero every time. Mm-hmm. But he was with us on he was with us a couple weeks ago, and genius guy, world renowned geologist, paleontologist, written I don't know how many books, probably more books than I am old, and he has recently wrote a book about flat Earth, and so I asked him, I wasn't sure how he would take it, but I asked him, I said, you know, how would you feel about coming and joining us one of our Flatterday nights and see how that goes? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. I'll be there. So he's going to be with us on Saturday and take on Flat Earth.
Yeah, not only did he say yes, he was really enthused about it. He was asking, when are we going to make this happen? I'm just blown away that somebody that smart wants to get involved with debating Flat Earthers. I'm thrilled to death. But by the way, you didn't mention what's going on Friday.
Oh, McGurdy?
Yeah, because that's going to be really interesting. If people don't know who Dr. Grady McMurdy is,
go ahead and tell
him. Dr. Grady McMurdy is like the up and coming new Ken Hovind. He's like Ken Hovind Light, but with an actual doctorate, I guess. I think he has an actual doctorate.
Yes, he does.
But So he's going to be coming on to actually talk about young earth creationism.
He's very he's very sassy.
Seems nice.
You know, where
okay, I guess.
I mean, he's been nice since we've been setting it up, but like he's got kind of like a sassy attitude. And I don't mean that like sassy's in, you know, trying to be derogatory, he's just fiery. Like if you watch his videos, he goes in hard. So I'm not sure, you know, how that's going to go. He's been nice in setting up emails, but, you know, I look forward to having him on as well. We'll see if Steve can't change his mind on YEC.
We'll see. It's going to be pretty cool to have a young creationist actually come on and open to having possible criticisms or questions asked to them.
Yep. Okay. So, Steve, I have a question for you. Am I being detained?
You are being detained. I'm being detained. Being detained right now.
Artie, am I being detained?
Yes, you are being detained.
Damn it. Okay. Everyone,
here's
this
my
is...
ID. God damn it. Here's my ID. I'm showing it to you.
This is Artie. Originally, we were going to have a show on, and we're still going to have this, but the schedules just didn't, something happened with the scheduling. But we were originally going to have a discussion on the forced sterilization of some prisoners. I've got a guy that deals with that, which I thought would be a really, you know, important topic to talk about. We're just going to reschedule that. And I have to tell you, Artie, I really appreciate you being able to jump in and fill in last minute, because Artie is actually one of the people that filled out that form that we've got. And if you haven't done it yet and you have a topic that you're passionate about, we want to hear from you, and especially for shows like this, we get you in. You have an interesting topic. We bring you in. We all discuss it. Tonight, we're going to be talking about sovereign citizens. But if you want to go to that link and fill out the form, if you have something that you're passionate about or that you think we should cover, there's a form you can fill out. You can go to tinyurl.com/nonsecme. That's NONSEQME. And fill out that form, and we'll get you on here. So, Artie, thank you, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, again, thank you guys for having me on. I have been a attorney since 2010, practicing since. I am licensed in New Jersey and New York. My channel is, if most of you go there, it'll probably be about 90% will be video game related, because that's kind of like my primary hobby. However, 10% is dedicated to sovereign citizens. They have been a sort of a private, personal, you know, passion of mine, a subject of mine that I've been intrigued about for about 4 or 5 years now. I have dealt with them personally on as part of my my job duties. And it's always been just a passion for me to discover, like, who they are, why they think the way they think. And oftentimes, you know, I try to have a back and forth with them, but most of the time they're not very keen on having a one-to-one discussion.
Yeah, I try to actually get quite a few on here. And every single one that I've sent out, they always say, nope, they're not interested. The one person that we did get on here, he's actually been on here twice, but we didn't talk about sovereign citizens because, believe it or not, he had other things that trumped being a sovereign citizen. But we had allegedly Dave, who is in England, they call themselves free men on the land.
Yes. You know, yeah. The sovereign citizen is a kind of a primarily an American term for the group. Mm-hmm. Other name for them has constitutionalist. But in the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, you know, the former Commonwealth countries, it's always been like free men on the land.
Got it. And here, I'm sure you're going to go into this a little bit, but they also call themselves natural man or something like that, right?
That's generally like the common identifier. I'm the natural born living man, the flesh and blood human being. But that goes into the whole idea of their ideologies, which is they try to separate the self, with their flowing self.
Gotcha. And to start us out, why don't you tell us, we were talking before the show came on, we're talking about Kent Hovind. And why don't you tell us of that story again, because I thought that was fantastic. I didn't know that about him.
Yes, yeah, so I knew Kent Hovind long before I, as somebody who tried to employ sovereign tactics, before I knew of him as like a very hardcore, very outspoken, you know, younger creationist. Back in 2007, he used typical sovereign tactics in order to avoid tax responsibility for himself as well as his religious organization. Obviously, they didn't work, and he was thrown in prison in 2007. While he was in prison for that, in 2015, he started filing false liens against certain public officials, like police officers, prosecutors, and so on, as a result of, you know, his imprisonment, which is another tactic that they have used. Unfortunately for him, fortunately for him, he was acquitted of a contempt charge that was placed in relation to that, but that's beside the point. The long and short of it is that he has employed these sorts of tactics that originally started with like the tax protester group, but then were later employed by a lot of these sovereign citizens. And for the record, there are similar but distinct groups. There are certain tax protesters who don't have the whole ideology contained in, but a lot of sovereigns tend to use a lot of tax protester tactics and ideas.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing, learning all about sovereign citizens. Real quick, how did you find our show? I always ask people that come on that I know actually watched.
Well, thanks to YouTube recommendations, I was kind of dabbing into the Flat Earth YouTube rabbit hole, and lo and behold, the Non Sequitur show, one or a couple of the episodes brought up, and I've been around, hanging around ever since.
Excellent. I'm kind of sad that it's mostly the Flat Earth that brings people here, but you know, I guess Steve, I think you're
YouTube
muted.
Recommends us for Flat Earth. No, I'm not muted. but every time I hear a story about YouTube recommending us, it's not for any of the content that I really, you know, love to have people come on and talk about things like this. Nope, it's about the Flat Earth stuff. It's like, really?
Let that sink in okay. For a second. You know, that's what YouTube relegates us to.
Yep, it's true. We are slave to the machine. All right, I'm going to let you you take it from here and teach us about sovereign citizens.
Okay, so it's funny because before the show began, someone who was either a Poe or a concerned troll or all of the above kept on asking the live chat, you know, what is a sovereign citizen? Can you define it? I would define a sovereign citizen as an individual who, based upon their perceived status, assert that the local, state, or federal laws do not apply to them, or they have a selective belief in that the laws apply to them. A sovereign citizen is a catch-all term because within sovereign citizen, there are different types of people who believe the laws that apply to them for various different reasons. It could be religious, it could be political, it could be ideological, it could be racial. It is generally a catch-all term that was coined in the early 1970s when they first started appearing in our court system. Where do they come from? That is kind of a subject up for the debate. Based on my research, a lot of it has stemmed from early, you know, white supremacist groups from the late 60s, you know, as a result of the civil rights movement. The reason I say that is because a lot of the early claims that they make is often related to the 14th Amendment, which, as some of us know from the late, you know, 60s, the 14th Amendment was a very critical amendment during the civil rights era. And so they would try to disassociate themselves with that amendment or say that the amendment was, improperly ratified, et cetera, et cetera. What types of sovereign citizens are there? Sorry, if you want to ask me something.
Oh, no, please go ahead.
Well, what was that? Well, the 14th Amendment was the naturalization amendment, right?
All persons born recognized, are citizens of the U.S. The 14th Amendment was essentially guaranteeing citizenship to the former slaves as part of it, but it has obviously continued to expand to all Americans born in the United States.
Okay.
So what types are there? On the American side, there are three that I've tend to kind of separate. There is one that's very religious, religiously based. I only follow God's law, natural law, that sort of aspect. I don't follow the laws of man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There is like kind of the conspiratorial, the United States is the corporation due to the Federal Reserve, the FDR's gold executive order from 1933 made us all into slaves. You go into the rabbit hole when you kind of go down that area, but that's a very specific one. And then there's one that's very unique in the sense that this is very much an African-American centric belief. Mm-hmm. The Moorish Americans, I don't know if you guys have mm-hmm. heard of this before.
They're hilarious.
Hilariously insane, I would say, out of the group. That's kind of insane in the sense of they have a very, 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 very revisionist history of the United States and the world. They believe that Morocco or the Moors were a pan-global empire that was, African Americans were in fact the indigenous people in the United States and America. All of us Europeans are foreigners. It's insane, I guess, the best way of saying it. But that is, I would say, the third other kind of category I would place them into.
They say that this land is America is really what they call Morocco, correct?
Yes. Yes, it is a form of Morocco, MXM, or Land of Frogs. Yes, that's actually what
Land
someone
of Frogs
has done. Yes. Yes, Land of Frogs.
What is that about?
I don't know, man. You're asking the wrong person. I know what I've read. I can't explain to you where they got their cartography from. So, and their naming conventions.
I actually might have some developments have gone on in the live chat while you were giving us that introduction, and it might be your lucky day because there is a sovereign citizen that wants to come in and give his side as well.
Oh, is it Truth Seeker?
No, it's his name is King King.
All right, let's bring him on then, Mr. Okay. King King. Because I know Truth Seeker is also a particular individual, but he doesn't want to join in.
No, he bitched out last time with Reds about the shape of the planet. He was supposed to have a debate with Reds, and he was nowhere to be found when it came time. So
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but it's not. It's pretty happens regularly, actually. Is there any? Do you want to touch on a couple more points while I bring him? It's going to take me a few minutes to get him. In here.
Sure. So that was just kind of the American side. I already alluded to that they're in the UK and the former Commonwealth countries. They're called freemen on the land. And the thing is that the what I've noticed that freemen on the land have done is that they kind of replaced a lot of the I don't know how you say the documents that they reference. They've all anglicized them. So instead of sovereign citizens will cite the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, etc. Well, freemen on the land, they'll cite the Magna Carta. They'll cite the British and English Bill of Rights, the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So they kind of Americanize them, yet they'll still cite American law dictionaries in their arguments, but that's neither here nor there. And then finally, one thing that was that's fairly recent is that I just recently discovered there are German sovereigns that exist now.
Oh no!
They're called Reichsbürgers. I didn't know this existed until a couple, maybe 6 months ago, and it's the same thing. They've replaced the constitution with a German document that the current German country, Germany as it is today, was a corporation founded by the United States in 1932 or something of that nature, and so those are the ones that I've learned about, and those are the categories that I put them in.
How does the maritime law fit in, like with the flag, with the little tassels
so,
on it? How does that all
get that idea? My understanding is that they got this idea from the premise that most of the federal courts or most courts in the United States let's put it this way. They think that the only non-maritime court that's in existence is the Supreme Court. All other courts are what they believe are either are fraudulent or they pretend to be non-maritime, but they are only actually maritime courts, or as they're the only legitimate courts in existence. And they'll say they, for whatever reason, and I haven't discovered the origin of this. Yes, they'll cite that the fringes on the American flag is a telltale sign that the court that they're in operates under maritime admiralty law, which of course has never been upheld and has been considered kind of ridiculous by most judges who have seen that for them. It is a fascinating thing that
I want to find the judges who don't think it's ridiculous, because you said most judges.
Well, I take that back.
Some judges that might actually take it seriously.
No. I'll preface that. I have yet to see a single court case where maritime admiralty jurisdiction was established by any judge or recognized by any judge due to the fringes on the flag.
Let's see. Before I bring King King on, I see that you're here. So welcome, King King. Let me just briefly get out these super chats really fast. And thank you for the super chats, by the way. King, can you, while I'm pulling this up, can you give me like a audio check so I can make sure that we're hearing you okay? Anyone hearing him?
I didn't hear anything.
We can't. Hold on. 1 second, King King. I think I know why. It would help if I would put him onto the screen, wouldn't it?
Now say something. Detain him first.
Now say something, King King.
King King, you're being detained. Are you there?
Nope. It's not me.
This could go one of two ways. Either you can say something, King King, or we could do it downtown.
I'm not getting any audio from King. No audio, period. I can see him. Like, I can see him. I can. His camera's up, but I'm not getting any.
Is the person, the settler, or the agent for King King here with us right now?
I'm not getting any audio from him. Do you have?
And notice he's. By the way, his name is capitalized. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Do you have another way? Do you have like a phone or something, King King, that you can?
All caps.
You can use.
Oh, you know what? He might be getting the blue screen of death.
No, I see him. He's here. Like he's. I just don't have him pulled up on the. I don't have him pulled up on the.
Okay. The screen. All right, so he has video, no audio.
He says, "Hold on 1 second." Okay, so while we wait on you, King King, let me read these super chats. Valley says, "Can you summon demons, please? I want to see." You'll have to check out the Ouija episode from 2 nights ago, where Steve and I got up at 3 a.m. to. Have a seance. That was really fun. No, by the way, you cannot summon demons because they don't exist. Unless you ask my co-host, and he'll tell you something different. But
I don't believe in demons. But we are going to be doing more psychological experiments with that, though.
Belgraph 1966 says, if Stephen Kosowich coffers, I'll double my pledge. James Freeman says, so a sovereign citizen is someone that doesn't believe that the local, state, and federal laws apply to them. So cops, judges, and politicians, right? And then as Andrew says, oh, a minore ad Maui, something Latin. I hope I didn't butcher that.
Minore ad Mauis.
King, I still can't hear anything from you. You might have to drop out and come back in and see if that works.
It means an inference from smaller to bigger.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not getting anything from King. Let me work on this. Let me work on this then. And can you tell one thing I wanted to talk about, or make sure that we got to talk about, is the retaliation thing that sovereign citizens do, because one of their biggest assets that they, you know, kind of incorporate into what they do is liens. You kind of touched on it briefly, but can you go into that a little bit more?
Yes. Now, the FBI and other law enforcement agencies have coined this as paper terrorism. There is a bit debate on whether that's, you know, appropriate or not, but the long and short of it is they have been able to use what are called the mechanics lien, or just a lien that you are able to file at your, you know, state's or county's clerk's office, essentially saying that this person owes me a debt, and the lien is placed on the mortgage or the property of the person you're accusing of owing you a debt. Up until recently, it has been fairly easy to file these liens. You don't have to go through a whole lot in order to file them with the state, and unfortunately, they were very difficult to get rid of because they can affect your credit, they can affect your ability to sell your house, they can affect your ability to obtain a loan. So certain sovereign citizens have been utilizing these liens to against public officials like law enforcement officers, judges, and attorneys who won't give them what they want. So this, we're talking, and when we talk about liens, we're talking about in a neighborhood of the millions of dollars that they post these liens for. And it's only recently that they've been curtailed.
And what's the
now? This would be, hang on a sec. This would be something along the lines of, let's say I think you owe me money, and I put a mechanics lien on something. And let's say you want to go to sell your house, and no, what is it? Does it cloud the title so that person cannot
exactly
legally
it sell clouds
the
title?
So it clouds the title. That's the threat that people are using for this type of thing.
Yes, and it can cost a lot. And before then, it can cost a lot of money to get rid of that lien, even if you find it's fraudulent. It's only recently that, you know, courts have and legislatures have been savvy to this type of tactic and have addressed it by making it easier to get rid of false liens and also employing penalties for filing fraudulent liens.
Yeah, it sounds like paper terrorism, definitely. I mean, if you cloud a title, you are unable to sell.
Yeah,
property,
essentially, they're doing, you know, do what I want, or else I'm going to put all the your life hell, by filing these liens.
Real quick, for whatever reason, Kinking, I'm still not getting any audio from you. If you have a Skype or a Discord, check your email and send that to me, and I'll add you on, and maybe I can bring you in through through one of those and sort of pipe you in. But I'm not getting anything as far as audio from your end. So, just as an aside. Okay.
Is that just a civil thing, or is that a criminal thing, too, to do something along those lines? I mean, I would figure that a false claim against or a false lien would be criminally liable as
yes,
well.
Yes, they're considered criminal penalties, like a white-collar crime.
What are sort of the remedies that people can do when that happens to them? Like, how do they get out of that? And is there anything that can happen to the individual sovereign citizen that does that sort of thing?
Well, it depends on the state that you're in. Most states have now become well aware of this kind of tactic and have taken steps and measures to counteract that. So it really just depends on where you would need to go and what you need to do in order to get this fraudulent lien lifted. as far as what sovereign citizens or as far as what you could face if you file these false liens. It depends. I've seen anywhere from, you know, a kind of a slap on the wrist, like 2 years, to anywhere to up to 5 or even 10 years for filing these liens. You know, it could depend on how many and how often you file these actions against public officials.
There's another aspect to them too that I don't think many people. I certainly didn't know this until I was looking into them a little bit ago. But the Federal Bureau of Investigations classifies some sovereign citizens as domestic terrorists. In 2010, the Southern Poverty Law Center estimated that approximately 100,000 Americans were hardcore sovereign believers, with another 200,000 just starting out by testing sovereign techniques for resisting everything from speeding tickets to drug charges. So if for them to be labeled a domestic terror group, what sort of things are they doing to justify that label?
Well, I will give you those examples. There is in 2010, as a matter of fact, two police officers in Tennessee were gunned down by a professed sovereign citizen and his son during a routine traffic stop. That was in 2010. In 2013, a Las Vegas couple was captured and charged with plotting to kidnap and kill police officers. This was in Las Vegas, and they had actually found, when they searched the house, they had actually found that they had made a makeshift jail cell that they were planning on placing these officers in, holding a court, and I use court with quote fingers, finding them guilty and then executing them once the quote unquote trial was over with. There was a talk that I believe the Baton Rouge shooter who gunned down several police officers also had sovereign citizen leanings, and his videos kind of demonstrated that ahead of time. Terry Nichols of the Oklahoma City bombings was also had sovereign citizen material found in his apartment after he was arrested. So these types of actions are what I believe are what makes them classified as domestic terrorists. No, not just the paper terrorism, but many of them have resorted to actual violence and due to their beliefs. And I consider those to be the true believers of the group, that, you know, the government can't do a damn thing to me, and I will do anything and I'll employ any means necessary to assert my liberty, whatever that may be.
Wow. That's harsh,
Steve,
stuff,
I'm going to let you, I'm going to let you take over for a second while I'm going to have to pipe him in through Skype or something. So,
I will be taking
him for a second.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you this, because do you see a correlation between the sovereign citizens and the narcissism that they think that they cannot be touched? I mean, we've obviously dealt a lot with Kent Hovind is a narcissist. These sovereign citizens seem to have this mindset that the government cannot do anything to them. Matter of fact, he went to jail for 9 years because he thought he was above the law. And to this day, he still thinks he does nothing wrong. He's actually trying to get it overturned. He's actually trying to get a gubernatorial pardon. And I think he may be trying for a presidential, but I think on that one, you actually have to admit your guilt. So I don't know if he's going that route. But do you see a correlation between these people not understanding that they are not as untouchable as they think they are?
I think there is an element to that. I think that it goes into their own mindset that I am my own ruler. We go into the whole sovereign identity. I am my own ruler. And nobody can tell me what to do. Like, who the hell are you to tell me what I can and can't do with my own life? I mean, magnify that mindset by a factor of 10, and then you kind of have the sovereign citizen ideology.
But they live in a society with other people. They're not the only people in society. They want to be a free man in the land and not deal with other people. Go live in somewhere in Australia in the outback by yourself. Nobody would care.
Well, I, that's, you know, that's, and that, that is the ultimate, you know, thing that I debate many of them, or I I've tried to debate with many of them, that they do not believe that they have any semblance of having to live in a society, and, you know, that the obligations that come with it.
Yeah, I don't know how you could even have function in a society having that mindset. I've already thought that way. It would be complete anarchy. We have to give up certain fundamental things. I don't want to say rights because or liberties, because we're not giving up our liberties. We have to at least give up some autonomy to live in a functional society. We are creatures that exist in that type of domain and environment. If people want to choose to opt out and drop out, they can, but they can't live in the and then want all the benefits of the society, but then not have the responsibility of having this contractualism with other people and members of the society.
Well, a lot of them, just mentioned the contractualism, but it's, you know, a lot of them, they say, oh, you know, they treat that sort of social contract as a literal thing. Like, I didn't sign no contract. Where's my signature? They treat it as a literal contract. And, you know, how do you have a discussion with someone who kind of takes that in stride?
They need to read What We Owe Each Other, the book What We Owe Each Other. Ever read that? It's it's on moral contractualism. But yeah, there's actually some theories out there.
I've read a lot, you know, dealings, you know, in this own research, it's allowed me to read more on political philosophy and, you know, reading up Blackstone's commentaries, among other things, and, you know, de Tocqueville, and all, and dealing with social society and how we function and the nature of law and governance and how it comes together and why, you know, these sort of social constructs are there. Because who is there going to be there to safeguard our liberty when I'm being wronged? We are doing a rule by the strong, you know, the law of the jungle, if I'm physically weak, how am I going to be able to have my rights protected if somebody decides to trespass upon mine?
I think we're set, and we're gonna have to do this kind of different. He's listening through vMix, but I have him here. I'm gonna put him on speaker.
All right. Real quick, because by the way, it's What We Owe Each Other by T.M. Scallion. And also, are you still required to read Rawls in law school? Because I actually was friends with John Rawls' daughter for many, many, many years on Facebook. And,
you know,
John Rawls?
I think so, actually. Yes. It's been a long time. I actually still have a couple of my books from law school. I think John Rawls is one of them, though.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had very good conversations with her on these topics.
Live chat, I need you to let me know if you can hear this, because I've got him coming through my phone. So, King, can you give us a test?
Jesus loves you.
All right. Are you able to hear that, guys?
It's pretty low.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
What about now? Now say something, King.
Hi, gentlemen.
That better?
There we go.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So, King, why did you want to come on and talk? What do you have to say about this?
First, I'm not a sovereign citizen, but I do agree with him. We all have like a social contract with our neighbors and government that we should. Hold on one second. I'm on. Y'all say something if I can hear you.
Something.
Audio.
Okay.
Something.
That we should have to take care of one another. And as technology and as our civilization grows, statutes are going to change. You know, back in the day, we had a horse and buggies. We have cars now. There's different things that need to be handled by statute and law to keep people safe. But there's a difference in a social contract and then someone trying to use perversion of language, perversion of law. An elite ruling class to use knowledge and certain other things to gain not just jurisdiction, but ownership to trade, buy, and sell someone on the stock market as chattel. Okay, this is a real thing. From the time we were born, this is the part of the part that just being a normal person and having to sit down, you know, we all get to a maturity where we start to find ourselves. We start doing education outside of high school on our own time. And I just started looking at the law, and one of the first things you learn is you start, there is a different language they use, like legalese. You go in there and you say a judge, you know, hey, do you understand? It sounds like English, like doublespeak. It sounds like English, but it's not English. Do you understand this or do you understand that? You think, well, hey, in the common lingo that we use, just as, I guess, commoners or subjects, that do I comprehend what you're saying? But he's saying, do you understand my judgment? Because they're dealing in contract. They're dealing in the UCC code, Universal Commercial Code. And how this happens is, it's more or less admiralty law. Back in the day in the maritime law, where everybody was in ship, they were taking something docks, like you go to the hospital, the doctor, you docks the baby's born from water, from the mother, the vessel gives birth to the baby. This is where your sovereignty, you have full rulership of your mind, body, and soul, is raped from you, and you are monetized, and you all of a sudden you get a certificate of live birth, which shows that you are a living soul that is sent off, right? Okay, something is created called a birth certificate, which is your, okay, in order to go to a courthouse, in order to get billed for something, you need a business. You can't do that man to man because we're unalienable. You can't put a lien against a living soul, a man. You have to do that against a business, which is a bond. Just like if you want to, if a sheriff or a cop does something to you, they have a bond, an insurance bond, and you can go and put a claim. You're talking about liens a while ago. If that person has been injured by the cops, they need to have insurance to cover that, so they have a bond. You can go right now to any, hold on one second.
King, let me stop you right there for just a second.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm getting a little. Go ahead.
Because there's a lot of things that you've put forth, and I want to see if Artie wants to speak on any of those before we get too out of too many things.
Okay. Can I? I know I put. Can we start with this right here? Mm-hmm. Okay. In 1933, we'll just start right here. This will make it very easy for everybody. In 1933, the United States went bankrupt. Okay. That's when the Federal Reserve took over, and they got charged with treason, and so did Congress. And to cover their butts, they gave a remedy within the law, okay? And it's very hard. So you can, that means all, we're working in credit and debt. There is no money of value because it has to be backed by gold. Our money is created out of thin air. Okay, we'll go from there.
Okay. Artie, anything you want to speak to with that?
Okay, there is a lot. There's a lot there. I heard legalese, the birth certificate, really UCC, and just recently what I presume he is referencing is House Joint Resolution 192. All of these that I have personally looked at, so I'm going to try and go through as these as quickly as I can. First of all, the legalese thing. No, there is no secret code of language that we use. As a matter of fact, I've been taught in law school, and it's been taught in the profession to go away from the sort of legalese language in terms of writing our opinions and writing our laws, and actually to conform our laws more towards the layman understanding, so that they're actually more easier to understand and not harder to understand. Secondly, as I am just saying right now, understand is not a sort of code word. It is just a simile for comprehend, just as you said. I have never heard of understand being a sort of cryptic, a magic word that suddenly means that I'm the judge is trying to enter into a contract with you. As far as the birth certificate thing, I have yet to see any evidence supporting this notion that one's birth certificate is used as collateral on the stock exchange as a result of the supposed bankruptcy in 1933, which, by the way, I have yet to see any sort of law or House Joint Resolution which dictates that the U.S. went bankrupt in that year. Most of the time, the citation I see them use is House Joint Resolution 182, which all it did was order that people order the collection of gold that was in reserve, and also to modify any contracts which used gold as a function of the contract. That's all it was. It said nothing about some sort of supposed bankruptcy by the United States. It was just a measure, a Great Depression era measure employed by FDR. Finally, the UCC. The UCC stands for the Uniform Commercial Code. It is a model statutory language that is supposed to govern commercial transactions. There is no actual federal UCC. It is only employed by the states. So it is not an actual law that you could cite whenever you go into court. When you go into a speeding ticket and you cite, "I reserve my rights under the UCC 1-301, the judge is going to look at you like you just grew two heads. Nobody knows what the hell you're talking about when you're trying to cite UCC when you're there for a freaking speeding ticket. So any usage of the UCC is kind of like ridiculous from our end, and there's no basis for it being utilized in where it's not a commercial transaction at play. In other words, it's not being used in family law, not you being used in criminal law, and not being used for your traffic ticket."
Okay, King.
All right. What is the difference between a legal person and a natural person?
You're going to have to be more specific than that.
You're going to have to cut down on your background.
A natural person, in generally speaking, in law, is supposed to specifically reference human beings. A legal person can include human beings, but is also meant to also include associations and corporations.
Exactly. A legal person is not alive. A natural person
it can
is
be.
Living. All right. A corporation has to do business with a corporation. A man cannot do business with a corporation because they both had to be on the same
Why not?
Playing field. Because you can't lean a man.
Excuse me, when I go buy a sandwich at McDonald's, am I not transactioning with a corporation?
Yes, but that's a different thing. When you're doing business with a how can I say this? All right, when a judge gives an order in court, can I give him a bill?
No. Why would you bill him for what? You're gonna have to elaborate a little bit more than that.
Whoa! You're using that. If a judge gives that, we're talking about legal.
Okay.
If he's going to give someone a order to do something, I can accept or deny his. In other words, he's wanting to contract with me. Okay,
no, he's
that's
not.
What you talked about UCC code. What everything the courts, our government, is based on the UCC code, which is contract.
No, it's not.
Our constitution is based on acceptance, an agreement between people. You see what I'm saying? That's contract law. That's called why it's called the Universal Commercial Code. It's worldwide.
No, it's not. The UCC is the Uniform Commercial Code. It is a United States originated standard of law developed to unify the transactions among businesses. The UCC in and of itself is not law. Various states of the 50 states have adopted the UCC as law through their own legislation. There is no federal uniform commercial code.
Okay, so in other words, there's no universal accepted, on contract where you need a meeting of the minds, two signatures, a date, which forms a contract between two people?
Now you're mixing up common terms. Law rules for, in the formation of contracts.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The basis of what we'll go from the sovereign. You call them sovereign citizens. Much of these people, they're not bad people. Saying that sovereign citizens—that's a claim, a label that people put on them, like they try to do to me. I've seen the effect of my local government of being beat by cops, of having some really dirty things done to me by my legal system and other things that caused me to research this. And I know for a fact that, okay, I'm going to do this right here. Let me, just give me 1 second. In 1933, you know, have any of y'all read about Jekyll Island?
I've been to Jekyll Island.
Thomas Jefferson, okay, where a bunch of bankers kind of got together and said, we're not going to do business against each other, but we're going to come together. And see, Thomas Jefferson said that the worst thing in any other standing army would be fractional banking, not to be able to coin our own currency. See, right now, none of us can have representation in Congress to say, hey, we want our money to be done this way or done that way. We have no say. It does not matter. And if we can't control our money, nothing else matters. Our bombs can go and kill whoever or whatever, and we have no say on it. That's one of the things that I started on this, is I don't like war. Just like y'all gentlemen, I don't like war. I don't like going my money being spent in taxes on killing people. And that's why a lot of these so-called sovereign citizens are doing this. They don't want their money spent on war. And that's the seed of the sovereign citizen. These are real... like kindred spirits that love y'all and everybody else. Now, the majority of that is fractional banking is destroying and raping our American society. Like you said a while ago, the family court is about money. The state treasury is getting kickbacks to the judges and everybody, and it more comes down to how much money they can get for themselves.
Okay. Well, I will say to you that I clerked for a family court judge, and I can tell you I never got no kickback in a child custody case, well, and neither did my judge.
And I just got all the discoveries and everything, and I can see where the Treasury, where not only the DA, I got it drawn down for conflict of interest, where the DA, secretary, everybody in the room but me was receiving benefits from the state treasury. So they have beneficial claim.
You mean receiving benefits as they're getting paid?
Yes. From the same treasury account.
Well,
and I think more than
the employer is going to be the state, right? The employer is going to be the state, right?
Exactly.
But we also live in a government that has separate but equal branches. You have the enforcement body that is the administration, and then you have the judiciary that is intended to be an independent check on the executive.
All right, so you have
now you say that because the judge is being employed by the treasury, that thereby creates a conflict of interest, but then. Who would you have in place with a judge to adjudicate your case?
Okay, this is what I got to say. It starts with the contract that you get solicited to under color of law when you're at the hospital, and a man and a woman are going through this kind of dramatic thing of having, they throw a bunch of papers out and say, read this and write that, like this one that says affidavit of parentage, and they slip a little bitty... Hold on, I can read it to you right here. I'm just saying, it's very sneaky, and our government should be transparent. And there shouldn't be a perversion of language. A while ago, you said something that is so bogus, and so... The law, like, I agree with what you said. Our law should be toward the layman's, but there is how many categories of Black Law Dictionary that have to redefine words? Like I was reading the other day, to live means to be between walls that vibrate sound. What does that mean? I got the Black Law Dictionary right beside me. It's totally different definition that is a perversion of language to gain jurisdiction over somebody. That doesn't need to be that way. None of us that are citizens, citizenship, it's all admiralty law. The United States should be under common law. Nobody should be in a criminal court unless they have evidence of an injured party or a burnt down house, like it says.
Everything else is a corporate statute.
Hold on 1 second. Let him answer that first part of your question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, sort of like the word language that you kind of use where, as you just said, the citizenship, as though the etymology of the word citizen or citizenship has anything to do with a literal boat.
It's symbolic.
This isn't national treasure. This isn't like coded language that you have to find all the clues. You know, the woman's birth canal.
This is a very, very ancient Jewish
the birth certificate,
society.
and it goes into Admiralty Maritime Law. Come on, man.
Listen, this is very, very... Okay, how can I say it? I know that y'all don't believe in God, but our society is...
Excuse me, sir, do not assume what my religious beliefs are.
No, I'm not talking to you, brother.
Artie's like, don't lump us in with these two chumps.
I watch nonsense. Yeah. I'm talking to these two.
Jump the shark there.
He was talking to... Mm-hmm. I think he was talking to me instead.
Right, yeah. Calm down, bro. Yeah.
Before any of you do that, James Freeman, who runs a very popular channel, First Amendment Auditor channel on YouTube, is going to come in here. He has to come in because he wants to be part of the conversation too. So he'll be in with us in just a few. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I sent the link. So let me ask you a question. Now, you had said something along the lines of, first of all, the terminology they use, the legalese, right? Legalese is set so there's no ambiguity when you have a contract. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I did take regulatory environmental law in college, which was only like two semesters, but I'd done A. But when you're doing these contractual things and you're learning about these topics, there's reasons why they have the kind of uniformity, like the Four Corners Rule, and when you're dealing with contracts, because they want contracts to be foolproof. Now, he went to law school, right? And so he knows all about the law. So where is it that you are learning these things that when I took it in college, I didn't hear anything about what you're talking about? He's a lawyer. He has no idea what you're talking about. So if what you're saying was true, who knows about this stuff that's learning it? That's how you have to interpret these contracts that you're supposedly born with. It seems like you're the only one that knows this. No judges know it. No lawyers know it. It's not in the UCC, which has nothing to do with that anyways. That's all for private property transference and things of that nature, which is not even accepted by all jurisdictions. It's just a uniform code that they can use. But where is this all written down where somebody can say, hey, look, right, what you're saying, that is what's going on? Because it doesn't seem to exist anywhere, and nor is it taught anywhere.
Okay, it's very simple. There is a defined, if it wasn't different, they wouldn't have to go through the job of making a difference between the two in definition, right? Like y'all were doing against Kynes with Amun-Ra and what's his name and trying to get through that. Okay, there is a difference between legal person, which is created on paper, and natural person, which is created by God and, well, created by nature, the universe. Okay,
So God dictates contractual
law?
Legal
person is created by government on paper, and Caduceus de minimitio maxima means dead, no rights, not alive. And it's represented by a certain, it's all capital letters. Every time you get a bill, this is what you do your business with. Okay? When you get a bill, now, okay, we'll stop right there and make this simple and see what he has to say about that.
Artie? And then we'll get to Artie, James. Hey, James.
Help us out with that. I don't think he answered anything.
I've heard the whole, you know, all capital letters, John, before. I really have... I found a few originating cases that talk about it. There's
I'm
no,
sorry,
it's, there has no basis in law. We look at, I mean, when we think of, I mean, the what's the more logical logical reasoning is that back in the 1920s, 1930s, when you had still have Morse code and the early typewriters, when all they could operate on was all capital letters on public forms, is that that could have been the reason why your name has been in all capital letters, and also that it's tends to be easier to read when your name is in all in one sort of case, whether uppercase. So that I feel like is a more rational origination of why a lot of our public documents are in all capital letters, and not that it is a supposed signal that you of your your non flesh and blood entity straw man that you're trying to disassociate yourself with.
Hey James,
so that's what I got to say about that.
Fonts don't matter.
Hey guys,
hold on, King, hold that thought. Let's see what James thinks, and then we'll.
Hey,
we'll
thanks
get
for letting me. Sure? I saw this topic coming up tonight, and I said I can't miss this show because I get called a sovereign citizen all the time, and I've been wondering for months and months, what is a sovereign citizen? And I'm hearing all these different definitions of what it is. I'm seeing what the FBI calls it. I'm seeing that, you know, police are basically lumping anyone who exercises their rights into this group of sovereign citizens and potential terrorists. So who is it that we have on the phone, the lawyer?
King. Artie's in the call, and King's in the call.
Artie, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate your insight on that, Artie. So if I'm not mistaken, what you're saying then is a sovereign citizen is someone who doesn't believe that the government that applies to them in any way, that the laws just don't apply to them, period, right?
Correct.
Okay.
For one reason or another, and that why they believe that can vary, but that is effectively it.
All right. Well, let's define law. It's statute law.
Yes. Statutes and codes are a type of law, just as common law and judicial precedent are also recognized law in the United States and the UK.
Now, there's a lot of us out there who are trying to change certain laws because we don't think that they're just. And again, we get lumped into groups called sovereign citizens. For example, I'm against the drug war. I think that all those laws should not exist. And I think that just as psychotic as it is that those individuals created a jail in their basement and were going to lock up some police officers, that's pretty psychotic. That's pretty crazy. Those guys are out of their minds. I think it's also pretty crazy to lock up drug addicts in a cage.
I would consider.
Well, I mean, I personally agree with you in that one, James. I mean, my views on the drug war are you'd find are probably similar to yours. Where the distinction I make, and I try to emphasize this a lot, is my argument is not whether or not the state should or should not impose this law. It's whether they can or can't, and I'll often emphasize that just because they can technically in a legal sense doesn't mean they should. And so that's the distinction I try to make when I make these observations.
James, I don't see how it, like, why do you get called a sovereign citizen? I can't figure out why people
it happens every day.
James, I know why you do. Because they want to diminish what you do and lump you in with the other people. I watch all your videos. You know, I'm a huge fan of your channel and also many other the otters. I can't get enough. But I've noticed that a lot of times they do want to disassociate. They just want you to be associated with the sovereign citizen group, thinking because you're exercising your rights, you're in the same wackery that the sovereign citizen saying that, you know what, you have no jurisdiction over me. You recognize that they have jurisdiction. You recognize that they have laws. You're just asking them to enforce the laws that exist and not make up their own shit laws that don't exist.
And King,
that's the same thing as a sovereign citizen.
Do you not think that anybody has jurisdiction, like, at all?
Yes, I do. If I go hurt somebody, if I steal from somebody, if I'm offering drugs or selling drugs to somebody, if I've injured somebody, just like in common law, it looks like James Friedman, I know, agrees, then yes, I'm a criminal if I have hurt somebody's property.
So where do you
I mean, I've got to agree, no victim, no crime.
Okay, that's where you draw the line. Okay, all right.
It's that simple. But if you create that to the point to where it's like slowly boiling water to it end up injuring the minds of prisoners and the guards because they are enforcing these laws that have become arbitrary to just living a normal life, you just living your life are going to break some statute in just normal day living.
Well, let me ask you this then. How do you feel about, because probably the biggest or the most popular videos on YouTube seems to be the one that are most prevalent with sovereign citizens are the driving without a license. Is that something that you think is okay, or what's your thought on that?
I would first start with the insurance part. I believe that everybody needs some insurance. It's hard for me when you start contemplating on your stuff, like let's say some mom got a bunch of tickets when she was younger, or maybe a small DWI, she lost her license and hadn't had much money to get our licenses, because all this stuff takes quite a bit of money and time to get back. Unless she's had one or two kids, and she just needs to go to church, or go get some groceries up the street. In my right, she should safely be able to go and not do business, but to go handle her affairs safely on the road with insurance without having to register or spending a bunch of money unnecessarily just to live her normal life.
Okay. I want to Artie, can you clarify on those videos? A lot of times you hear them say that they are traveling and not driving, that there's a distinction made. Some of them will cite court cases where, the Supreme Court has said that people have the innate right to travel and not, there's a difference there between driving. Can you clarify what that difference is?
On that note, going towards James's no victim, no crime, and the premise behind victimless crimes, I tend to lean on that side of the fence. My personal ideology, my personal belief, I always emphasize our precedent, our legal precedent for, more than a century has said, the state can, employ at least the literal, United States of the individual states can employ these sorts of laws, for the health, safety, and welfare of the citizenry, what's generally considered the police powers. But I always tell these people, just because, I say that the state can, charge me $50 every freaking year to register my car doesn't mean I don't think it's a fucking racket. So, I emphasize just because they can doesn't mean they should. So, on to your point. Mm-hmm. A lot of these right to travel folks, they often cite these court cases, oftentimes out of context, oftentimes that do not agree with what they're saying. And in fact, some of the cases actually go against them. Again, it goes into a misunderstanding of the law. What you go into the right to travel is oftentimes they will cite a particular court case that does emphasize that, where they say the citizenry, in the United States have a right to travel, in the United States. They cite that from the Articles of Confederation, and then later on they say that the Constitution, through inference, has also employed it, even if it's not explicitly said. The problem is what is generally meant by the right to travel means that I do not need to pay, Texas $50 for the privilege of moving there, or I don't have to go to, I have to pay California, $50 just to visit for the day. There's no, never mind the whole toll roads and everything like that. That's a separate issue, but there's no toll at the state border saying charging you money just for the privilege of being able to go into one state or another. Right to travel also gets into the discussion when we're talking about a child custody, being able to take your child out of the state for vacation while they have visitation, or being able to obtain state benefits when you move into the state. That is where the right to travel is generally invoked. Where it is not invoked and where it has been rejected is the premise that the imposition of driver's licenses or registration or requiring the ability to have insurance is a fundamental restriction upon your ability to go from A to B. Often, and the state and the courts have generally said over and over and over again, you have, you know, imposition of these restrictions, aka driver's licenses, are a rational means of, you know, protecting the health, safety, and welfare of its citizenry on the highways. And it is not so much a detriment that is a fundamental fundamental rejection of your rights. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I would top add into that is, actually, I'll leave it at that. That is essentially what the states have said, that imposition of these is not a fundamental breach of your rights. Oh, because not only you're not restricted to driving. You can walk. You can take a bus. You can ride a bike, or you can take a cab. You have other means of traveling from point A to point B. That's also another aspect that they look at.
King, real quick, King, it sounds like you're eating your mic. Can you maybe move it?
Yeah, there's a lot of background noise.
It's very, very. Yeah, it's very, very. But also already there's also this driver license compact, is there not, between states when you're saying that you're able to travel?
Yes.
There's a compact between all states that allows one valid driver license. It's like I'm in California, I can be driving anywhere in the United States because of a compact that all the states have. Canadians have a similar thing. Canadians come down and they have a valid driver's license. So that's another thing, that is freedom to travel from state to state with one valid driver's license.
Correct. The only time that they'll require is if you're actually moving into the state, then they can require that you get a driver's license for that state. But yes, you're right. The driver's license compact is there for that reason as well.
Do y'all think that there is anybody getting special treatment? Anyone, whether they're agents, government workers, or anything like that, when it comes to the highways and byways?
In what way?
I mean,
James Freeman, have you ever seen a DAC tax event plate?
Yeah. Seen a what plate?
A tax exempt.
Like government cars that are tax exempt. Yeah.
I've seen them actually, and I've taken a picture of one, and I said, oh, look, there's a sovereign citizen. He's exempt from the rules.
Thank you. There are certain people that, I'm not going to say that. Let me just do this. I think the main thing with this sovereign citizen, and the reason it's been, is the banking system. Fractional banking, like Thomas Jefferson said, is worse than any standing army. If we don't have control over making and coining our own money, like they said, don't give me your money and I don't care who makes your laws. If we do not, and there's two things that as a citizen that bothers me. That's judges having judicial immunity to do whatever they want, no matter what, in a courtroom, and the Federal Reserve.
Oh, is that?
What is that law? Wait, what law says that?
Judicial immunity.
Okay, I'm going to clarify. The judicial immunity is reserved for that the judge cannot be sued based on what they do in the course of their duties. In other words, just because a judge finds you guilty doesn't mean that you can just turn around and sue his ass because you disagree with the judge.
No, exactly.
That's what judicial immunity
is. But I still think
it's not a blanket immunity.
If
the judge turns around and
kills
somebody, he's going to get charged with a crime.
Hang on, King.
Hang on, King.
On that judicial immunity, correct me if I'm wrong, but that doesn't account for judicial misconduct, correct?
Of course not. No.
If
they're not a blanket immunity. It's not like they have.
The state has to waive their own sovereignty.
But it's not like they have this general immunity that they can get away with doing anything in their courtroom. They have to abide by the rules. And if they're
Hang on, King.
If they're in their judicial capacity and they do a ruling, you cannot civilly go after them. If, however, they do something that is against the law, that they for fraud, or they do something that is clearly in violation of the law, and they knowingly, willfully do something along those lines, that's a different thing. They don't have blanket immunity for that. If I'm a judge and I know I'm going to railroad you and I'm going to fabricate testimony and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure you go to jail, you could be, the judge could be criminally liable for that. Could they not, Art?
Yeah. What's your example, right? King?
Correct.
All right.
Yeah, so I mean, you don't have a blanket immunity like law,
and I go to court,
mm-hmm.
and learning about the name, the difference between a legal person and a lawful person, and wanting to find out who the court clerk had appointed who in the case and who was who before I contracted or done anything. I had done had some very, very bad situations with law enforcement because of certain people I know and certain things I know they've done. That's, mm-hmm. I go into the courtroom, he calls my name, I say I'm senior on special appearance, he goes up, I said, sir, may I ask a question before I come before the bench? I need to know who everybody is before I contract. And I've got anxiety anyway, and I'm about half frozen trying to stand up in front of everybody and nervous. And he says, no, sir, come on forward. And I know admiralty law, that looks as a boarding the ship. You're accepting jurisdiction. As soon as you, that's why they call it the bar, British Accredited Registry.
Okay. Hold on.
Wait, just hear me out.
I'm going to. I just want to take them piece by piece so that we don't get so far ahead that we can't, you know, come back. So can we ask Artie about the stepping on once you come, you know, once you cross that threshold, then you're accepting a contract. I just want to know if that's a thing, and then we'll let you pick back up on that thought.
I have never, in any of my years of law school and any of years since the law school, clerking with judges, clerking at a county courthouse, I have never heard of the premise that merely passing through, you know, the bar that we all see is somehow a signal or a legal recognition of jurisdiction or, mm-hmm. or any of that nature. It is just merely you are just entering into the courtroom.
Okay.
And I have never heard of it having any sort of legal significance.
Okay. Now, King, go ahead and finish, pick up
the... Okay. From what I'm studying, it's admiralty law and in contract, that's offer and acceptance. Come forward is an offer. Going forward is an acceptance. Okay. Just like anything, when they call your name, they want you to say the name so that they know how to jurisdiction of the person so that you're still... in a way, dead, not knowing that you're spirit and not flesh, and then you're saying, hey, I'm still your created entity, when you sent me that paper, see, anyway, I'm not going to get it. Anyway, I'm still with anxiety, and I'm like, sir, can I please ask you a question? He says, no, sir, I'm going to ask you one more time or come forward. And I said, sir, before I go forward or contract with anybody, I need to know who you've been appointed to before I contract with anybody. And I was new to all this. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's before I know it, I was waking up in a jail cell, spitting out almost every one of my teeth. I took martial arts all my life, right? The way you crack somebody's neck if you're doing something, a downfall, where you take their legs out from under them, you put your forearm in the back of their neck, and you put them, their jawbone into the floor, and it snaps their neck. That was exactly what they done to me, and they tased me in the temple, and it knocked me out. The next thing I knew, I woke up in the jail cell spitting up all my teeth. I was brought out back there drooling all over myself. They hand me what's the guy's name we're talking to that went to law school?
Artie.
What is it? Your,
Artie.
The piece of paper, the very first thing they hand to you?
Hand to you when?
To sign your rights away and to counsel.
I assume you're talking about a waiver?
If you want counsel.
A waiver form?
Your way, thank you. They hand me a waiver. I didn't remember all this. I was concussed. It took me a couple of days, and it finally started coming back where they tased me in the head. They brought me back out there drooling all over myself. I didn't want to sign anything. And I signed
why did they
the waiver.
You, no, why did they tase you again? Can you go a little bit more detail on that?
Because you don't just get arbitrarily. He refused to come forward.
You did not,
no, it was like the officer said, they thought I went out of honor. And he said, we own your ass now.
Because...
When I looked up. This goes way deeper. This has something to do
with that on video.
The judicial system.
Is that record? Yeah, the
court. Answer James' question. Answer James' question, King.
Again, please. James, ask it again.
Do you have that on video?
Yeah, I wrote you a long time ago to see if you wanted to come and videotape my local government with me because I had started doing some of the same things you did.
Well, hang on. He asked you a question. Did you hear his question? His question was, do you have it on video? Because what happens in courts is recorded.
Right.
Do you have the recording for
that? I'm pretty sure they do, but I'm pretty scared about what's happened to me since then and what I've been through.
Could you FOIA it?
Not only mentally, but spiritually.
Well, hang on, James. Is that something you can FOIA?
I don't know. It depends on the state you're in, but you can probably get a transcript of the proceeding.
Okay, so
yeah,
you
wait, we
don't guys would listen to me.
Hold on, King. Hold on, King. Go ahead, James.
We usually go for recordings because the transcripts almost always don't match the recordings. When we do our own recordings in courtrooms with our own recording devices, they almost never match the transcript. So.
When I say transcript, I mean both written, audio, video. I use transcript, you know, universally.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, King. Okay.
That's not even the worst of it.
Okay.
After that, I was took to the hospital. I am a very polite man. I'm very good, a good Christian guy, you would say. They started going there, and I said, ma'am, I don't want to be subject to anything being put in my body or taken out of my body. I'm fine. Give me some ibuprofen. I forgive whoever for whatever, and let me go home. He had done gave me a contempt of court for 24 hours. So I said, just send me to the cell. Let me get out the next day. And I was still kind of foggy-headed, but I wasn't fighting back. There was no use to inject me with no sedative or anything. They wanted my urine and blood. And I said, no, ma'am, no, thank you. I didn't fight or nothing. Well, the judge gets on the phone with the cop, and he starts using intimidation tactics, putting on gloves, coming over, smacking them, acting like they're going to hold me down. And I'm like, gosh, if I don't do whatever they want, I'm going to get a charge or something bad's going to happen. I've done about being killed, literally.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I know, I said, okay, sir, do whatever you want. And I'm looking to the left, and I didn't notice the woman on my right has got a needle behind her back and sticks it in my arm. And I'm like, what in the world are you doing? Now, at this time, I'm a little upset, because now they put something foreign that I have no idea what it is into my body. I told them I didn't want to be subject to radiation. They take me to the MRI. They sit there and done their little MRI thing a couple of times. They take me back, and as their little funny thing, they fed me gravy and biscuits. It's all wordplay if you get it. Gravy.
Wait, what? Say it again. It's wordplay on what?
Everybody else in the jail got a certain kind of food.
Right.
But I got served gravy. And biscuits.
You're saying that they symbolically sent you biscuits,
yes.
Gravy, like as the grave?
Yes, bro. Wait, don't laugh.
King, come on now.
Gravy, the word so they were.
So wait, King. So this was a veiled threat.
Okay, King, I like you. So you're very polite. You're right. You're very polite. But that doesn't make any
is
sense.
Is this really what you're saying?
Hey, that they serve you biscuits and gravy. You don't have the eye and ears to see and
see. Oh, okay, wait, great King. I really hate straw man. I want to make sure that I hear you correctly. You're saying that they served you specifically biscuits and gravy, and that is symbolic of the grave, and you were fearful of your life because of that?
And does that make you a biscuit?
I'm telling you that everybody in my cell block got served a certain kind of food but me, and I didn't realize why until later on.
Does that mean
and because you got
that makes you a biscuit, right?
What does that mean to you? Yeah. Was your I'm not understanding the symbology here. Is it gravy has to do with the grave?
Never mind.
We're not meaning to make fun of you, but you have to understand it was kind of funny when I started getting the hint. You have to understand how like ridiculous that is, that they're sending you a signal through a breakfast food. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it does till after that happens, and then you go walking to try to make money, getting a job, going to the library, trying to make legal documents, and somebody comes up to me and says, "I hope you like that gravy and biscuits." Right before that, you get almost run over on the side of the road. It's not me thinking that. It's like subtle suggestion. You heard of sign language?
Yes.
It's like someone suggest. I didn't never think of that, but if somebody almost hits you on the side of the road one or two times before you get to your destination, literally, and then somebody after that walks up to you and says, "Hey, you like a biscuit and gravy?" I'm just saying. And it was weird that everybody in the whole cell got served something. Okay, y'all are very good at analyzing information. If I gave you that, would that sound like a suggestion?
No, what about...
Let's be real.
What if I gave somebody pancakes for breakfast? What would that symbolize?
Well, I don't know.
The earth is flat.
I'm not the one using the word magic.
I'm just saying, like, look, we're not... I'm not trying to make fun of you, because like you said, you're a very polite guy, and you've been respectful in here. But there's a line that you can go. Like, if you think that there's a, you know, that the court system's after you, that's, whether they are or not, that's something that a lot of people think. And it's not that far in left field. But to think that they're going to send you a sign in breakfast food, I think it just goes too far, King.
And why did everybody in the block of 23 people get served something totally different than me?
Were you in SEG?
I was in population.
And you're the only one that got gravy biscuits?
Only one.
What did everybody else get?
Or I wouldn't be saying something about it. I'm a very intelligent
man. Hold on. What did everybody else get? King, what did everybody else get?
Okay, never mind. That's not important. Let's not get on the
table. Well, it is important, because if you were spitting out your teeth, you would have to have something that's soft, right? That might be why you got a different food.
So eggs and grits that everybody else got was too hard?
Well, that's because everybody else is, you know, kind of scrambled in the head. They may have been sending you a...
All right, guys. Let's get back to the fractional banking system that sells black cattle.
Okay. Go ahead. Artie, were you going to say something?
No, I got nothing.
Okay, go ahead, King.
Anyway, I don't know why that was so funny. I just thought it was. As far as the sovereign citizen thing, what do y'all think that all these thousands of people are finding or educating themselves on that is changing their hearts and minds so much to? I mean, there's got to be something there. What is it?
I would say that's the advent of the internet. Because if I have to be honest with you, like I was telling folks before the show, based on my research, a lot of these arguments, like as you kind of mentioned, the Federal Reserve, the 1933, these arguments were put forth. In the early, the mid-70s to the early 80s, and they were rejected as absurdities and frivolous, and here we are about 50 years or, you know, 40 years later, and people are doing it again. My guess is that the advent of the internet has allowed these ideas and these beliefs to spread once again, to folks who had never experienced it before, and that's where my theory is on why there seems to be so many thousands of people trying to employ these ideas to try and get out of whatever legal situation that they're in.
And James?
I'd have to agree. I think it's the internet. You know, more specifically, though, like I said, a lot of us are coming to the are beginning to believe the principle of no victim, no crime. And I don't know, I think the sovereign citizen movement, as I understand it now today, that I haven't understood it before, I think it's just, I'd say the radicals that that are against. Let's see.
Okay, James, can I ask you a question, brother?
Yeah.
What is the collateral formation of that?
I'm sorry?
What do you think is our collateral for our national debt?
I don't know. You know, I think what I'm trying to say is that I feel like they're backed into a corner and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to think rationally anymore because they feel like they're being oppressed constantly. And so instead of moving forward with rational thought to solve the problem, they just throw their hands up in the air and say, you know what, none of this applies to me.
I agree with you, James, in the sense that in my experience, you know, as with all seemingly all movements, you know, Flat Earth is included in this. There's gurus, there's true believers, and then there's marks. You know, there's victims, and I believe the gurus, they prey on people who are in dire legal straits. Most of the times when I see this, people are in a bad financial situation. You know, they're facing foreclosure on their homes. They are in prison for anywhere from, as you say, you know, a simple drug possession to capital murder. You know, this spans all legal difficulties, but it preys on people's concerns and their fears, and that's where I feel like a lot of them become. So, because I feel like a lot of these people who employ these tactics, a lot of them don't really actually truly believe this. They just consider it a get out of jail free card. So they buy into it.
I've employed some of this stuff in court, not thinking that it was legitimate in every way, but saying, "Hey, you know what? Maybe challenging jurisdiction will stall a little bit so I can figure out what to do." and it did.
Well,
but I in no way
you're not entirely wrong in the sense that it is a great way to gum up the system. I mean, it is a very valid tactic that many of them use. And you know what, if you're between you and me, you know, sometimes these county prosecutors they need to brush up on their work. So it's always good to get a refresher.
Yes, you can.
Okay, let's say we have 10 people. Five of them.
A what?
They write down 100 laws.
Let's say you have 10 people. All right, go ahead, King.
Okay.
You have 10 people, and they write down 100 laws. Okay, five of them agree with all the 100 laws, and four of them don't. Do the five get to dictate to the four that don't agree with those laws in a democracy called mob rule, or do we have a republic where we are all kings and queens creating a government?
I'm definitely.
Where's the 10th person?
You
said
there
was five,
and
then you said there's 10 people. Five of them believed in one law. Four of them disagreed. Where's the 10th person?
Yeah, where's the 10th person?
Okay, I'm sorry. Let's, I meant 6-4.
Okay.
The 10th person is a dead Democrat vote.
The five that agreed are bound by that law because they have contracted in to agree with that law. We're just using common sense here. Okay, statutory, like if you have McDonald's and you have franchises of that McDonald's, they have rules, codes, and regulations for McDonald's. Okay, that is the same thing with the United States, the corporate industry doing business as the United States on the stock exchange, just like New York, all the other states. Okay, when you are contracted through your birth certificate, you have become a franchise doing business as a franchise of the federal state.
But we've already explained how that's not the case and why that's not the case. That's not a thing.
The United States is a representative republic. You know, you make your voice known by voting in elections. You vote for a representative, and that representative is who you believe is writes the laws. But there is also an understanding that when, you know, you have the majorities of both houses of Congress and signed by the president, that what is the bill that's signed becomes law, and it's applicable to everybody, even if that, you know, people disagreed with the law as it was been put in place. I mean, that is the foundation of our government, of how of the United States, or at least on the paper of how it's supposed to operate.
And your example.
You are going to be subject to laws that you may not agree with. You know, there are plenty of laws that Congress has passed that I really don't fucking like and that have passed, but I have to still, you know, file my taxes every year. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean I don't have the obligation to pay them. Abide by them.
Your example about McDonald's was really kind of off, because if you're trying to compare it to the United States, McDonald's would be more like Britain or a monarchy, because all the people that work at McDonald's don't get to vote.
Not titles of nobility like judicial immunity, like a king over subjects. We have something in this country called status. Mm-hmm. And this wouldn't be, okay, if it's not a real thing, there wouldn't be definition for it. Okay, and it wouldn't be defined. There's a difference between a legal person and a natural person. If you keep using, okay, your name in all capital letters is a legal person. In legal definition, it is not you. I have been and talked to a magistrate. He'd explained to me that we are given a person to do business with. They define the separation of man and person, not me. I've just found the law. So I don't care what you say. I've read the law. I've spent 10 years doing this. They're wanting to buy and sell you as collateral on the national debt from your birth. And it's all based on
again, I've advised this over and over again.
Everybody needs to become creditors, not debtors.
All right, hang on a sec. So first, let's address a few different things, because we have art here. This notion that Ken Hoban tried to use, that your name in all capital letters is somehow a corporation, it's not tied to you individually. Your font, sans serif or New Times Roman or capitalization, whatever, makes no difference in a legal system. You sign your name, you can do it in any font you want, you can do it any point size you want. It makes no difference.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't ever use that. Yeah, or Arial Black. But this narrative that you have, that if you have all in caps, it means something else. There's no jurisdiction that recognizes that. There's no law for that. There's no legality whatsoever. It doesn't exist anywhere. But it doesn't.
It's called a legal person.
It just doesn't.
And oh my God! A legal
person. I've already explained this to you before, King. A legal person is merely a distinction between a corporation, which in the 1870s has been granted certain personhood rights, specifically. That is merely the only distinction. A person, a legal, in your legislature, you're going to have in your laws, you're going to have a definition of person. Person is going to say a natural person and a association, a corporation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is what a person is. Yeah. You're going to say a legal person. You are merely talking about an association or a corporation. It is not my name in all capital letters. It is not some ethereal, fictitious individual where I can saddle all of my obligations onto, and I can live scot-free without having to do a damn thing in modern society.
That's not how it works.
No, literally, you are.
Entire hangout.
That's what you're.
No,
exactly.
I didn't make it up. I'm telling you the definition of a legal entity.
But you are. I'm telling you that there is nothing in a legal dictionary that is saying what you were saying, that a legal person is a distinct all capital letters entity from a natural human being.
You're getting your info from YouTube.
I'm getting it from Black's Law Dictionary.
Okay. I've heard that before, okay, too. What, Artie, what's the deal about Black Law?
Black Law Dictionary is what is generally recognized as a standard dictionary, you know, for legal terminology in the United States. But for whatever reason, sovereign citizens treat it like it's a fucking Bible. Black's Law Dictionary is not law. It is not law. You don't go. The first thing a court is going to go to when they're going to look up a definition of driver, of person, of motor vehicle, they're not going to go to Black's Law Dictionary. They're going to go to their own legislature's definitions for those terms. And if there is no definition which says that in all capital letters, name or terminology is supposed to mean something different from the undercase version, they're not going to recognize it.
Artie, you had no idea.
No matter what Black Law Dictionary says, no matter what edition you're using.
And somebody points out Black Law is merely a descriptive dictionary. It's not prescriptive. It doesn't tell you.
It is a secondary source. It's not even a primary source.
King, we got to start. We got to start wrapping up here in just a few because we've almost gone 2 hours. So, if you have anything that you want to like, any questions you want to ask James or Artie or whoever. Now would be the time to do that so we can start to wind down a little bit.
All right, let me just clarify one thing. King, one sec. A legal person, from what I recall, a legal person just is a term used to define anybody or any corporation or any entity that is subject to legal rights and responsibilities. That's it. So if they have some kind of legal standing, they are considered to be a person in the eyes of the law, not like they're alive, but a corporation, because they have regulatory environments, they have laws and rules, and they're subject to these things, that's just what they call a legal person. Artie, is that pretty much correct?
Okay.
Yes.
King?
Yes.
If I was to go say, hey, I think a crime's been committed, if I go to a sheriff or a cop and say, hey, I think a crime's been committed, this person did this, you know, they beat this person, blah, blah, blah. He's going to say, what's your name? I'm going to say, sir, I don't feel like giving my name. Well, I'm sorry, I can't do nothing about it.
Well, hang
Does
on.
The government wait, hear me out.
Okay.
Does the government need a name?
James can answer this question because James deals with this quite often himself personally on some of his some of his things.
So James, I'm sorry, I forgot to listen.
James doesn't want.
Question.
James doesn't want ID.
if you go to if you need to fill out a report on or a complaint, let's say of the police station, can they force you to give a name?
As far as I know, no. But I wouldn't fill out a complaint. Your first mistake was going to the police station. But no, I don't believe you need to give your name.
Right. So you don't have to give a name, King.
Mm-hmm.
Not to make a complaint.
Well, hey, well, I've been trying to make a complaint about something for almost 2 years, and they won't do nothing because I won't give them a name.
Go above their head.
Go
to IA.
Yeah. I've been to the DA. I've been to the FBI, and they tell me that the DA needs to give a... In other words, the DA needs to say, hey, FBI, we need you to investigate this.
Hmm.
Somebody made me this shirt, King. I don't know if you can see, but when I lift it up underneath, it says just obey.
James, you're a Christian man, right? I'm not trying to get
I am. But you'd be better off if you just obey. That's going to be a lot easier.
All right, Romans 13, let all souls be obedient. It's a servant to the authorities that be, because they carry the sword not in vain, and they are ministers. In other words, if God didn't want the government to be there, they wouldn't be there. But then it talks about how they're lying, stealing, blah, blah, blah. The reason I started on this journey is because that I thought that I was being tricked, owned, traded, bought on the stock market as collateral on a national debt that since my birth I have never been questioned or contracted into. I've never accepted benefits for anything, but my life has been benefited to.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found evidence of everything that would say yes, that is what's going on. They are benefiting from buying and selling properties that they put a bond on when you were born in the hospital and created an entity a legal person that you use to do business with, which is a franchise of a greater franchise.
Dude, we just went through this, man. We literally just went through it again.
Then why is the United States and every other state and everybody on the stock market? Why can't I go online
They're not, King.
They're not.
You're not being publicly traded. You don't have shares, okay? You're not like common or preferred stock.
You don't subscribe to the thought that your social security number is an account number, right?
I haven't got that far into it. I don't know. All I can do is I know that there's a lot of people that had really smart people. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people are being enslaved.
Okay, well, I at least want to answer one question for you.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's a scam. Please do not pay people $500 for this kit that'll let you access your Treasury Direct account with your Social Security number.
Let's not get crazy.
Okay.
Hold on, King. King, hold on. Just chill for a second.
Hang on.
Artie, will you let him know what he can do, if you know, if he has a complaint that he wants to fill out, what can he do so that he doesn't have to fill out his name? You know what I mean? He doesn't have to give his name. He feels like they're retaliating against him. What's the best steps for that?
Well, it's very – I will agree with him in the sense that it's very tough, especially when you're in small communities. With a tight-knit police force. I mean, I've seen it myself in this area. The best way you could do it is go either to the county level or to the state level. If you believe that the entirety of the police force and the council, borough council, is against you, there are avenues out there. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying you've got a guaranteed chance of success. But the best way is, as you suggested, Kyle, is try going over their heads. If you feel that the entirety of the police force is out to get you, because I have seen it myself. It's never easy, and it's always very difficult to fight against something like that. I know it's not the best answer to give, but it's really one of the only ones that I can really give at this moment.
You really got to understand that, like you said, it is a very difficult uphill battle, and there's a dang good chance you're not gonna win anything, right? They're never gonna take. And besides that, they're gonna have to take you seriously. And when you're telling them that you're being traded on the stock market, it's a lot more difficult for them to take you seriously.
Also, yes,
King, just making sure. King, you don't live in Leon Valley, right? just making sure.
Wait, can I say one more thing?
Good.
Yeah, go ahead, and then we'll say.
Maybe he can right some wrongs that I might have learned.
Sure.
Because I can't go directly to the source right now, but I know I've read this. I know I've got it written down. I've got so many notes. All right. Supposedly, the United States went bankrupt and filed for bankruptcy in 1933.
Supposedly.
Okay. Yeah. When that happened, we had the Federal Reserve to come in with the Great Society and all that. Okay? A couple senators and representatives went after them for treason. So what they done is they put a remedy into the law. Because the money's supposed to be backed by gold. Nothing else. We're supposed to have this representation in Congress, in the Senate, to coin our money. We no longer do that.
Yeah, we have fiat money.
We give them
money,
glorified IOU, and they print money out of thin air.
Mm-hmm. But what's wrong with that? What's wrong with the fiat system? What is wrong with the fiat money?
Our law and our constitution.
No, it's not.
That's why.
The U.S. government is allowed to mint money. That is in the Constitution.
That's pretty.
I don't remember the exact amendment, but I believe it's actually in the Constitution.
Thomas Jefferson said.
Where is it in the articles? Where is it? Wait one sec. We have a lawyer here. Where I know it is somewhere. Where is it actually stipulated that the U.S. government can mint money? In this case, they go through the Federal Reserve.
The Congress, under Article 1, Section 8, Congress has the ability to print, has authority over the coinage. What he's probably referring to is a restriction upon the state. The states cannot, cannot accept gold or silver for legal debts. But that doesn't. I can't remember the exact terminology, but that is a restriction on the states in terms of requirements of repaying debts via gold and silver. Yeah. The Congress is not limited by that section in the Constitution.
And we need to.
A constitutional for the Congress to go into a fiat currency.
Before you should bring up another point, King, we need to start wrapping down, and I feel like you're bringing up more examples. We'll have you back on. We'll have you back on to go over anything else that you want. But we do really need to be kind of winding down because we've gone 2 hours already.
All right.
Hey, well, God love y'all. I appreciate you coming on, King. I'm gonna hang up the phone so I can finally use my hands to talk.
I didn't realize you was doing that.
No, you're good. You're good. I don't mind.
Hey, tell the guy that went to law school, thank you for straightening all that out. I just wasted 10 years of harsh studying for nothing.
Well, you learned a lesson, at least, right?
I'm going to stick to my own education. I worked really hard. Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of case
you
law.
You do that.
Okay. We'll have you back, Luke King. Right. You take care, right?
He's going to get tased again one of these days.
Well, boy, Artie, you didn't know this morning when you woke up that you're going to have this day, did you?
I was always hoping I'd finally get a chance to have a one-on-one. Was not expecting it today, not when I have so many other things going on right now.
Your first appearance anyway. And a dumpster fire.
James, of course.
What are your thoughts? Anything you want to say, add, anything like that?
Artie, I appreciate you clearing some things up for me on what a sovereign citizen is. And there's still so many definitions out there, and I hate the word now because I keep hearing it all the time. And like I said, it's constantly being used now to demonize anybody who believes that their government is in any way wrong about anything. And that's what I'm seeing on a daily basis in my activism.
I don't disagree with you there. And that is also something that I have. It's almost predictable that it could be it could be used in that fashion as a catch-all for anything. Anytime somebody says, can I take a look at the back of your trunk? And the moment that somebody says no, which they have the legal right to say no. All of a sudden, the cop's going to go, well, we got to start with a sovereign. That's not what I talk about. That's not what I deal with. I don't deal with that is somebody who is genuinely exercising rights that they, in fact, do have and have the freedom to assert. My thing is relegated to Mr. Maritime Admiralty jurisdiction, settler agent, legal fiction, quorum non judis, Pig Latin terminology user who thinks that he can do whatever the hell he wants with impunity.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know if you've seen some of the sovereign citizen training videos for police out there. There's one that was put out there by a Florida Sheriff's Department that basically says, you can pinpoint a sovereign citizen because they'll be filming you. They'll ask, am I detained or am I free to go? And, just everything that you can possibly do to
all together. Right.
But
exactly.
Have you ever seen any of James' work, Artie?
I believe I have. It's been a while though, but I believe I have. I have seen a few of your videos, James.
You should check him out. He's really good. Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Stuff. Yeah.
And it's that beard. That's what I was gonna say. They call you sovereign citizen because of the beard. It's got to be.
Yeah.
When you have a glorious beard like that, it's got to be.
Well, because you're that. They remind you of that mountain man Freeman.
I don't know if you
guys
know
who that guy is.
Yes, the guy that stood up in court all the time and went, I am the natural man.
Yes, I am the natural man. Yeah.
Jurisdiction over my all caps name, but nobody's got jurisdiction over this beard. So.
Oh, nice. Well played. Well played. All right.
Man. Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the bankruptcy thing. Now, I know in the 1933 they did enact the Emergency Banking Act. But that wasn't some kind of a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. That was just to go. I mean, they did go to the fiat system. And by the way, there are issues with fiat money. I'm not saying it's a perfect system, but.
It was merely to codify what those executive orders were, which was in order to avoid, you know, a full-on crisis, FDR decided that we need to nationalize the gold supply. I mean, whether I agree with that or not, again, that's a separate issue, but the text of the actual resolution was that. It had nothing to do with, we are now bankrupt, therefore we're now going to sell everybody's birth certificate on the stock exchange.
That's what you're confused about, Steve? Not the gravy biscuits?
Well, that was just hilarious. But no, I really do want to get in the mind of why they think these ways, right? Because you can go validate certain things like this. You can go see what is actually happening, and their narrative doesn't match with reality at all, like not even remotely. And I want to know where they're getting this narrative from. Are they just pulling it out their ass? Are they getting it from other people? Because it's certainly not in the law. It's not in statutes. It's not anywhere to be found where what he's saying exists codified. It does not exist.
No, I agree with you. Like,
I'm going to go back to my own fantasy world of playing Skyrim after this. So,
yeah,
you
very taxing. Exchange in septums.
People are asking in the live chat. I have linked James's YouTube channel, and Artie, if you'll send me your link too, I can link that, and then I'll put both of you guys' links in the description. So if you're watching this later on, please go and subscribe to them as well. Great content on both, and you won't be sorry that you did. Anybody else?
It's
go ahead.
I was just gonna say it's funny that Steve mentioned Skyrim ahead of time, because that's a good chunk of my content on my YouTube channel outside of Sovereign Citizens. You know, that's I play that a lot, so it's funny that Steve just decided to go ahead and play that. Plays that, but let me go ahead and
Link that to me here, and I'll put it out. Yeah, and
out there. I like Richard 3 too. Richard 3 is amazing.
Anybody have any?
I play that all the time.
Any last minute thoughts? Anything else they want to get out there? Anybody got anything that wanted to shill? Anything coming up?
I got something for James real quick, if we take 20 seconds. James, did you have? I heard you had a discussion with Lawn Smoke, Black Label Cop Watch, and a few other people. Did that actually come to fruition? Were you in on that?
They were there. I was not in on that. And I just barely
you were not in
saw
that
your thing. Email. Okay. I don't know if you noticed. I don't check my emails but once a week, sometimes once a month.
You ignore us. I know.
Yeah, I was one.
Yeah, we get it. Okay. Yeah, I just wonder if you were in on that, because it's not made public yet, and I was just going to ask how that particular conversation may have gone.
It was a train wreck, and that's why I wanted to have it on here.
It probably was. Did you hear about it? I mean, do you know about it? Was it a train wreck?
I saw it. Yeah, it was a train wreck, in my opinion.
Cool.
I mean, Lawn Smoke, I mean, I'm sure you saw his video, his critique of, quote, auditors, and I kind of liked it. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, he's got some libertarian-leaning ideas, so do I, and we kind of come from different perspectives, though. I think that would be a great conversation with him.
We're going to get you on with him on this channel then. Yeah, I think there's some ground that you guys would have a good conversation, once you get a mic that actually doesn't cut out as much as this one. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, is this mic?
Your mic? It's mic is horrible, dude. It's really bad, to be honest with you. You can listen to the stream when you're done. It's
just real quick, I'm wondering about what I'm seeing in the chat, and I'm hoping that this is a joke of some kind. But Christy says, I need to see this T-shirt of yours and Kyle and Steve kissing. If I had action.
No.
What is that about?
What I've seen it. No, what she has is she, Chris, Sweet has her, the shirt with you and I faces on it, and she puts her boobs together so it makes it look like we're making out.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. That's entirely different. That's entirely different.
Yeah.
Okay, that's entirely different. Carry on, chat. No, I want to say thank you guys for watching tonight. This was actually really good.
I'm not even lying.
Yeah, this was really good. I'm happy with the way that tonight turned out. And thank you, James. Thank you, Artie. We'd love to have you both back on anytime. That was fantastic. Of course. Guys out there, we'll see you tomorrow for Opinionated. Poisoning the Whale will be with us. So Sophane and Fat Pat will be back. They are hilarious. If you don't know who they are, they did the epic rap battle between Logic and Armored Skeptic, which is hilarious. So make sure you check that out. That's going to be tomorrow at 8 p.m. And then on Wednesday, the big day, when Trevor Valley takes on Dan Bidioni. So can't wait for that. All right, guys. Until then, actually, Steve, say something just for just a second. I forgot to add one thing.
You're no longer being detained, and you're free to go.
1 second. Nope, I got it. Okay. All right, guys. Instead of our big, exciting outros that we usually do, I just thought maybe I would just send everyone a little message. So without further ado, until tomorrow, have some of these.
They look delicious. They look yum. I would totally dive into that.
They do look really good.
Southern style.
I think we're still live too for 10 more seconds. So don't start talking.
I like biscuits and gravy. I don't know. I wouldn't even take that as like a death thing. I'd be like, they like me.
And we are offline.